This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circus Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Sadenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live as we take you through the conclusion of Monday Night Football, the Fighting Philip Rivers taking on the San Francisco 49ers. They are in the fourth quarter right now. San Francisco has extended their lead to 41-27, but the Colts have just gotten a huge kickoff return into San Francisco territory. So we are into the fourth quarter, 7:29 remaining. There's a flag on the return. It's probably going to come back, but the Colts will try and pull themselves to within a possession once again, as they just did on their previous drive. And we'll see if they can come back and win this game. If they don't, well, their playoff chances will go bye-bye. And that will likely do it for Philip Rivers playing for the remainder of this season. It's been a great story watching Philip Rivers come back at 44 years old, 5 years away from the game, and give the Colts a fighting chance. Last week, I thought this was the biggest mockery in the NFL this season. And I felt that him coming off of the couch or the sidelines of a high school team to now be an NFL quarterback once again after 5 years and take on the Seattle Seahawks on the road with a couple of days of practice really just goes to show you how the organization feels about their rookie backup quarterback in Riley Leonard. And then last week, Philip Rivers did not do anything special against the Seattle Seahawks. And after the game, Shane Steichen admitted, the head coach of the Colts, that they wanted to win a 20-17 type game, that they wanted to grind out a low scoring game. They didn't put too much on Philip Rivers' plate, and it was dink and dunk and dink and dunk the entire game. Rivers goes actually over his completion number. He had 18 completions in that game last week against Seattle, but only 120 passing yards. They relied on Jonathan Taylor, 25 carries, only had 80 rushing yards, but they were competitive. And watching that game, and I was on Twitter, and you guys know, I've been so critical of Philip Rivers. I didn't understand how the Seahawks didn't play better in that game. I didn't understand why the Seahawks didn't pressure Philip Rivers more, but maybe they felt, hey, we're not going to lose this game. Let's just take it easy, and let's see how this plays out. I cashed the best bet in that game last week, which was under 28.5 yards or 27.5 yards, depending on what book you were at, for Philip Rivers' longest completion. It actually was 29.5, then 28.5, but you get the point. I felt that there was no way he was throwing the football down the field. Well, fast forward now to the present, tonight's game against the San Francisco 49ers, where the sports books listed Philip Rivers' passing yardage prop in the 160 to 165 range. Obviously an uptick from where it was in last week's game against Seattle, but they still kept his completions at 17.5, and they kept his longest completion prop at 27.5 yards. To that, which on Cashing Out last or on Live Bet Sunday yesterday, I gave out as my best bet of best bets, just like it was last week. And so far in this game, even though Philip Rivers had a monster first half passing the football, even though Philip Rivers has already thrown for over 200 yards in this game, most of that coming in the first half, by the way, most of it coming in the first quarter, by the way, in 100 passing yards or over 100 passing yards in the first quarter, not so much the remainder of the game, but he has still not thrown a pass that would go over his longest completion prop of 27.5 yards or 26.5 yards, whatever you got it at. He does not have the arm strength. We're seeing balls being underthrown all game long. The only threat to losing this prop is a catch and run by a wide receiver or maybe a running back on a screen pass. He had gotten chunk plays in the first half. The 49ers did not pressure Philip Rivers at all. They sat back in coverage and they allowed chunk play after chunk play, but it was 15 yards. It was 17 yards. It was 12 yards. And that's why Rivers racked up the yardage in the first quarter. And I tweeted something out, and it wasn't a popular tweet because people want to root for a good story. And I get it. Philip Rivers is a good story. But I said, let's see what happens after the first scripted drive. And to give him credit, Rivers has performed well. But the idea that he has been great, let's slow down a little bit here. A lot of this performance tonight has to do with the 49ers defense and their ineptitude. The 49ers did not blitz Phillip Rivers one time in the entire first half. The first blitz came on a third down late in the third quarter when they caused an incompletion and got pressure on Phillip Rivers. The Indianapolis Colts are playing with three backup offensive linemen in this game tonight. Why the 49ers have not been blitzing the entire night? Listen, I'm not an NFL coach. It's not for me to answer. But maybe, just maybe, they're saying, who cares? They're winning 41-27 right now. Their offense cannot be stopped. They're scoring every time they touch the football. And they know, much like the Seahawks knew last week, that Rivers wasn't going to beat them. If this game was a shootout, which turned out to be with the right now with 68 points being scored, 49ers felt like they had the edge. Seahawks last week felt like they had the edge if the game was played lower scoring, which it was. Seahawks win that game. 49ers will win this game. Phillip Rivers will go over his passing yardage prop. That was one that I got wrong. Phillip Rivers will go over his completions prop. That's one I got right. Phillip Rivers will go under his longest completion. That's another one I got right. And Phillip Rivers will be done playing in the NFL after this game. Because with the Indianapolis Colts, once they are eliminated from postseason contention, there's no more reason for Phillip Rivers to play. They brought Phillip Rivers in to play because they were still in a playoff hunt. Once they are eliminated, then you can go to Riley Leonard or whoever you want to play at quarterback. You don't need Phillip Rivers to start and play for them. And if Rivers want to play, I don't know. I mean, this is a decent performance here tonight. It's a decent performance. But let's look at the next couple of games. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars, a very good pass rush team, and the Houston Texans. Maybe the best pass rush team besides the Cleveland Browns. I think Phillip Rivers in a meaningless game, no playoffs on the line. He's going to roll out there against those two teams. Those two teams that are fighting for the division title right now. Boy, I can tell you, you might see better efforts from those two defenses here than what you've seen from the 49ers tonight. But the idea that Phillip Rivers is blowing everybody away, he's been incredible, and he's the comeback player of the year. It's frankly a joke. It's a great story. He's not the comeback player of the year. And I said, and I put this out on Twitter, if you wanted to bet him to be the comeback player of the year, if you thought, hey, this story's incredible, let me bet Phillip Rivers to be the comeback player of the year in the NFL. You're better off betting the Indianapolis Colts to win this game tonight, which they're not going to, but you're better off betting him to win this game tonight, then bet Phillip Rivers overs in next week, bet them to win next week, and then bet them to win again the week after that. Because you can win those prop bets, but you're not going to win the futures bet. The NFL sent out the stipulations to the NFLPA. The writers, right? And the NFL writers, not the Players Association. The PFWA, Pro Football Writers Association, all that stuff. They sent out the memo 2 years ago or a year ago addressing the stipulations for Comeback Player of the Year award. Phillip Rivers does not fall in those stipulations. Coming out of retirement is not a hardship that prevented you from missing games last season. Being out of the league for 5 years and then playing two games, you're not the comeback player of the year. I'm sorry. And yes, his odds have shifted, and now he's the second favorite up on FanDuel at 10-1. Listen, call me up. I will house your bet. Oh, we might have just lost longest reception. Catch and run, huge catch and run. We might have just lost longest reception. That had to have gone for over 27 yards. Yep, 33-yard catch and run there for Alec Pierce. Womp, there it is. Loss on the longest reception. Oh, Mike, that was terrible defense. That's the other thing. We can stop talking about Phillip Rivers, because when the Colts lose this game, he's not going to be playing anymore. But the 49ers have a real chance to get the number one seed in the NFC as they pick off Phillip Rivers and return it to the house. Pick six for the 49ers. That couldn't have happened one more play earlier before the 33-yard catch and run there. But here's the thing. The 49ers could realistically get the number one seed in the NFC, get a bye in the first round, and be at home in the playoffs. But with this defensive performance tonight, and the way this defense has kind of been shaky all season, with the losses, of course, of Nick Bosa and Fred Warner and others, is this a team that you trust going into the NFL playoffs? Let's examine the 49ers here for a moment. We'll also be joined by Nick Whalen coming up in just a few minutes. Hey, PropheticX is the number one sports prediction market. They got some of the best futures pricing you'll find on the College Football National Championship and the Super Bowl. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of PropheticX's 20% purchase match. Download PropheticX today. Experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Out here on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSIN, the sports betting network. Oh, I'm gonna be sick. We just lost the Phillip Rivers longest completion under on his second to last throw of his career. He throws a 33-yard completion, a catch and run really, to Alec Pierce with just horrific 49er defense. I mean, the cornerback just kind of just like gave up on the play. I guess he thought the ball, I don't know what happened. And then the next play is a 75-yard pick six. 49ers are up 48-27. Riley Leonard now in the game for the Indianapolis Colts. We're at the two-minute warning. And with the Colts being eliminated with this loss, that's probably the end of this Phillip Rivers story. Nice story, but it's going to be the end of it now. From a 49ers perspective, though, with this win, it keeps them alive for the number one seed in the NFC playoff picture. They are in control of their own path. Win out, including a win in week 17 against the Seahawks. They win the division, and they are the number one seed. But with this defensive performance tonight, and seeing what we've seen from this 49er defense, can we truly trust this team as legitimate Super Bowl contenders? Let's head on out to the Progressive guest line as we are joined by Nick Whalen, frequent contributor here on VSiN. You know him from RotoWire. Nick, can you trust the 49ers with this defense? Yes, they're dealing with injuries, obviously. No Bosa, no Fred Warner. Can you trust this 49er defense in the NFC playoffs?
Yeah, my initial answer, Scott, would be no. I think a lot's going to be made about the Colts' defensive performance tonight, which is, I think, going to be one of the worst we've seen this season, really not registering a single stop until that interception by Brock Purdy late in the fourth quarter. But you're right. I mean, the numbers for Phillip Rivers in this game, a little bit alarming how easy it looked at times, despite Phillip Rivers having little to no arm strength down the field. He certainly looks better this week than he did last week against Seattle, but you know, it's not just the Indianapolis Colts finding a way to move it on this Niners team. You know, even last week against Tennessee, I thought there were some pretty alarming possessions. You know, they needed a late field goal you know, after a failed third down just to cover that game, gave up 24 to the Titans. They've had some of these games throughout the season, obviously gave up 42 to the Rams in that second matchup, you know, gave up 30 to the Buccaneers. We've seen what that offense has looked like since. So, no, I mean, it's more so the AFC, Scott, where you have all of these obviously flawed teams. It feels like it's a total toss up. I think there are certain matchups for the 49ers. Like, obviously, if they find themselves against Tampa Bay or Carolina, you're going to feel good about that. They already have a win over the Rams, albeit in a very fluky game. They already have a win over Seattle. I wouldn't count on that being the case again. And those teams, of course, will meet in week 18. Could they take down the Bears? Could they take down the Eagles, who were still unsure what that team is going to look like in the playoffs? Yes, they ultimately could to me, but it's going to be very, very matchup dependent. You know, I think there is still a big time gap between a team like the Rams and the 49ers in terms of a team I trust to go and win three games in a row in the playoffs.
So who is the team that you trust the most right now?
It's the Rams.
Okay.
It's the Rams in the NFC. No question. And, you know, the Rams currently are sitting in the sixth seed, you know, once San Francisco officially finishes this out, which feels so wrong. It feels so wrong. You know, I know they just lost to Seattle on Thursday, and the Seahawks are going to be kind of the new trendy pick. There's still a Sam Darnold element for me, you know, picturing him winning three or four consecutive playoff games. I'm not sure I could quite get there. We've obviously seen Matthew Stafford do it. I think when the Rams are healthy, when they have Davante Adams, they are pretty easily the most complete team in either conference right now.
Yeah. And just by the way, Sam Darnold in week 18 playing for the division and the number one seed against the 49ers. Where have we seen that before? Oh, wait, last year. And it absolutely did not work out for him last year in that Vikings-Lions game. So let's see what happens coming up this year with an opportunity to do it again. Nick Whalen from RotoWire joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN as the 49ers kneel the football down. It'll come to a conclusion, 48-27, the final score. San Francisco gets the win. Let's take a look at the Christmas games coming up here, Nick, where the quarterback situation is just,
oh goodness,
it's comical at this point, right? And you wonder why it seemed like the Colts in playoff contention calls Phillip Rivers 5 years out of retirement. I'll be honest, I'd rather have Phillip Rivers than, with all due respect, Chris Oladukun. I'd rather have him than Max Brosmer, Josh Johnson. Like, these quarterbacks, the injuries are really hurting these teams. How do you handicap these Christmas games with these quarterback situations for these teams?
Yeah, it's not often that I would say I'm, you know, shedding a tear for Amazon or Netflix, but this is not what they signed up for when they paid a pretty penny for this package. And all of these games, of course, coming into the year and even, like, you know, 7 weeks ago, looked like they would be real battles. But my goodness, man, this is as brutal as it gets. And it's not just the quarterback situations. It's, you know, the amount of eliminated teams, right? You have, you know, a dead Cowboys team against a dead Washington team in the early game. You know, the Vikings are totally out of it. They might be on to Brosmer. Detroit, you know, still has to play to win that game. You know, they won't know the result, of course, of the Packers game until Saturday, but that could end up being meaningless in retrospect. And then, of course, you have this whatever remains of the Kansas City Chiefs, Scott. You know, I'm very hesitant to trust the Denver Broncos, who have done nothing but not cover big numbers whenever it's come up this season. But I could not believe the degree to which the Chiefs just laid down in that Tennessee game this past week. And look, going from Minshew to Oladukun, I don't even know if that matters. Minshew was terrible in the first couple of possessions before he went out. At least Oladukun, you know, provides you with some mobility, but it didn't really result in anything. You know, the Chiefs just seem like an even more diminished version of the offense that they were with Patrick Mahomes, which was not a very good offense for the last month. So, you know, Denver is a team, you know, right now, if I had to bet the Christmas slate, I'd probably lay the 12.5 with Denver, because I don't know if the Chiefs get to 10 points in this game. I really don't. I don't think there's any motivation right now for Kansas City. Denver, of course, is coming off a loss. They're still pushing for the one seed in the AFC. I don't see the Chiefs really finding anything to rally around here.
Would it be a better bet to do just Chiefs team total to go under?
Yeah, that's one way to look at it, sure. Yeah. I do like what I've seen from Denver offensively over the last couple of weeks. So that is a part of the factor here, is that, you know, in theory, if I think Kansas City is scoring 7, 10, maybe 13 points at the absolute max, you know, can Denver get to the mid-20s? I would like to think they can. This Chiefs defense, of course, was playing really well while the offense was struggling, you know, during those final few Mahomes games. But again, yeah, I watched that full Titans game yesterday. that did not look like the same Chiefs unit. I thought there would be, you know, some element of pride for a team that has accomplished so much over this last run. And I just didn't see anything. I don't see how that changes week over week.
It's hard to kind of squeeze value out of some of the games that have nothing to play for here at the end of the season. But if we can maybe look at some teams that or some players that are playing for something, I'm not talking about the contract incentives. Let's ignore that, because we know the books tax you, you know, significantly on that. Oh, this player needs four receptions to hit his milestone. Good. Bet is over 5.5 now, right? But let's talk about, like, Geno Smith last week takes the position, his position back from Kenny Pickett. He has a pretty good game for the Raiders at quarterback. Now the Raiders are a slight home favorites against the Giants. Do we think we see Geno with another good performance here to kind of solidify his position moving forward as the quarterback of this team?
Yeah, I think, you know, the question more so is, like, do the Giants even show up in this game? Like, the limited version of the Giants offense that we've now seen for 3 weeks in a row has been pretty alarming. You know, I think there was this narrative out there that, you know, you don't really want to expose Jackson Dart to all these hits. I bought into that to some degree. They have taken that to an extreme, right? I mean, running the ball on the first 17 plays last week against Minnesota. I know they made that a game, but obviously had the fumble return touchdown that kind of kept them in it. I feel like Vegas, even in a loss, feels like they have a little bit of momentum, right? Just kind of proving to themselves that, hey, you know, we're not an FCS team. We can actually hang around with some of these decent teams around the NFL. And, like, this is probably their last opportunity, you know, this season to bank a win and do so at home. So it's really tough to look at a Giants Raiders game, you know, which is sitting at a pick'em at some books, or at least was earlier in the day, and feel like you have a strong lean on it. But to me, the Giants look like a team that is ready to pack it in, that is firmly playing for the future. Whereas with the Raiders, you have an old head coach, you have a veteran quarterback, you know, you have some pieces on this team. You have Ashton Jeanty, you have Brock Bowers. They're a team that had expectations coming into the year. And I get the sense that the Raiders at least have the ambition to try to finish strong, whereas the Giants, to me, are a team that is looking toward the draft.
Final thing, Nick, as we head into the championship games of fantasy football, and even if people are out of their fantasy leagues and they're trying to set some DFS lineups for the final 2 weeks of the season here, who is the player that you have circled that you think will lead to fantasy success and victory here in the final 2 weeks of the season?
That's a great question. I have one game circled this week, Scott, and it's a team that I often circle that you've been wanting to target in fantasy this entire season, the Cincinnati Bengals defense, which acquitted itself fairly well, forced some turnovers last week against Miami. Some really nice defensive plays, actually, by Cincinnati, but we got a total of 53.5 in Cardinals Bengals. If you have somehow, like me, in a couple leagues, been able to ride Jacoby Brissett for most of the season, I know he let you down this past week against Atlanta. This should be the shootout of the week. Joe Burrow going up against the air raid in Arizona. You know, Michael Wilson has been the wide receiver one in fantasy for the last month. Again, it was a bit of a letdown game against Atlanta. Arizona moved the ball readily, just couldn't finish off drives. I think that's the game you circle. I think that's the kind of re-breakout spot for Trey McBride, especially going up against by far the worst tight end defense in the NFL.
Yes. Still wondering why Mark Andrews didn't do anything in that Ravens game against them.
What are the Ravens doing, man? I don't know.
And Mark Andrews didn't do anything the other night either. Bothered me again. Nick, appreciate the time and the insight. Good luck with your bets. We'll catch up with you again soon. Have a very Merry Christmas, brother.
Hey, same to you, man. Thank you.
There he is. Nick Whalen from RotoWire joined us on the Progressive Guest Line. Coming up next, why the 49ers' home field advantage could be the reason they win the Super Bowl.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to Nick Whalen, who joined us last segment from RotoWire, gave us some early leans for the Christmas week NFL games. And the quarterback situation that we could have here for not just like the games on Christmas, but also think about it. This is its own standalone week now of Circa Survivor. This is the fantasy football championship for anybody that's in their championship in their leagues. I unfortunately am not. I lost. But this, now you have these quarterback situations for the Kansas City Chiefs, potentially for the Vikings and for the Washington Commanders. There's a reason why these spreads are a little bit, I don't want to call it out of control, but these were certainly not the look-ahead spreads on these games for Christmas in the NFL, where you have Dallas, a 6.5-point road favorite at Washington here at Circa, Detroit, 6-point road favorite at Minnesota, and Denver, 13-point favorites at Kansas City with a low, low total of 36.5. Big news out of Kansas City earlier today as they announced that they are leaving Kansas City, Missouri, and they are moving to Kansas City, Kansas. A brand new domed stadium will be built, and so the Kansas City Chiefs will be leaving Arrowhead, and no more weather, snow. It'll be an indoor building, much like half the league now is moving towards indoor buildings. And it's taken away some of the great football that we know and love, right? Yeah, you're going to still have a couple of games there in the Northeast that will be featuring some weather and some snow and whatnot. We'll always have Lambeau. But especially now, imagine if the Bears move to a new stadium that's going to be a dome. With the Chiefs now moving to a dome, more, it's like half the league has indoor stadiums. And I get it. It's a money thing. It's a money grab. Everything's about money these days. And it's about how many things can you put in that building? Because it's not just about the football team. It's about getting a Final Four. It's about getting a college football playoff national championship game. It's about getting every major event that you can inside that building to justify the cost of spending to build that building. But it's going to be something, you know, 5 years or so from now, we're watching the Kansas City Chiefs play a game in December and it's indoors on a fast track. At least Buffalo did the right thing and they kept that stadium open air. They built technology to make sure that the wind doesn't have a factor, and that also the overhangs, they're going to cover the stands so no one gets snow on them, and they don't have to remove the snow from the stands. But it's still at least open air. Speaking of the wind, though, that's something. File this away. I talked about this in the summer, and it's been in my notes for next football season for windy games. You know how we always talk about windy unders and we see the totals get hit significantly because of the windy unders? Well, the way that this new Bills stadium is built that they'll start playing in next year, there's no wind at field level. There was an episode of Hard Knocks this offseason during training camp where Josh Allen was taking a stadium tour and the construction crew was telling him about how the wind is blocked at field level. The way that they designed the stadium restricts the wind from coming in down at the field level. So next year, when there's a late November, December game, and you hear, hey, there's 15 to 20 mile an hour winds in Orchard Park, the total's been hit down from 41 to 39 to 38. Well, we're going to take advantage of it and go over because we know, based off filing away some information, that the wind's not going to have a factor in that new stadium. Anyway, that's me getting a little bit nerdy about new stadiums here in the NFL. I also am going to get a little bit nerdy with some next-gen stats. So I can't wait to see what the next-gen stats report is going to be coming out from this 49ers game against the Indianapolis Colts. Phillip Rivers played admirably. I will give him that. And yes, gut-wrenching to lose the longest completion under when he completes a catch and run to Alec Pierce for 33 yards on the second to last throw of the game. The last throw of the game, maybe the last throw of Phillip Rivers' career, was a pick six. Rivers finished 25 of 35 for 277 yards, two touchdowns, and that interception. He goes over his passing touchdowns prop. He goes over his completions prop. He goes over his pass attempts prop. He goes over his passing yardage prop. Jonathan Taylor had 16 carries for 46 yards. I got to be honest. With all due respect to Phillip Rivers, and maybe the game plan for Shane Steichen was to flip the script, right? To try and throw something at the 49ers that they were not expecting. And I'll give them credit. They scored 27 points in this game. I'll give them credit. 27 points in an NFL game should be good enough to win that game. But coming into this game, the 49ers run defense, especially since Fred Warner went out, has been one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. The 49ers dead last in success rate against the run, according to Klefta, great Twitter account, a great analytics guy. Since the Fred Warner injury, the Niners dead last in success rate against the run. In the last 2 weeks, they gave up a 53% success rate to the Browns, 68% to the Titans, both single best games for both of those teams by a long shot. And they've only faced one top 15 rushing offense in the past seven games. That was against the Rams, and they gave up a 61% rushing success. The Indianapolis Colts are one of the best running teams in the NFL. Every single week, I do a trench report. You guys can follow me on Twitter, at Scott's On Air. I put out the links. You can find it, all my content and stuff. I'll be with you here each and every night this week on Cashing Out. And on Cashing Out on Saturdays, I unveil, you know, I give out some of my trench report results. And every week, I identify which offensive line has the edge over the opponent's defensive line when it comes to the running game. And the Indianapolis, and every week, by the way, this has absolutely crushed when it comes to running back ones, the starting running backs going over their rushing props. So like every week it's like 5-0, 4-1, 4-1, 4-1. This week again, 4-1. Actually 3-1-1 because Bijan Robinson didn't go over his rushing number, but I talked about it on the show on Saturday. I would play his total yards over, which he did go over. But anyway, the Indianapolis Colts was identified as one of my rushing mismatches because of these numbers for the San Francisco 49ers run defense. And again, the Colts scored 27 points, so it's not like their offense was a problem here. But Jonathan Taylor had 9 carries in the first half. 9. Yes, they came out and they threw it all over the 49ers in that first drive. And Rivers moved them right down the field, and they scored a touchdown. That was the scripted drive to open the game. Great job. Okay. The 49ers march right down the field, and they get a touchdown. Then you get the horrible turn of events, obviously, and you fumble on the kickoff. The 49ers score another touchdown. The next drive, I'll give them credit. Rivers puts up another touchdown. But when your defense then allows the 49ers to go right down the field and score another touchdown, it's now 21-14. At that point, you gotta then start running Jonathan Taylor. One, you gotta give your defense a blow because they cannot stop the 49ers. So you need to have a sustained possession there. What did the Colts do on that next possession? Phillip Rivers, short pass to Jonathan Taylor. Phillip Rivers sacked. Phillip Rivers, short pass, and then they punted. 3 pass attempts and a punt. That's not doing your defense any favors. That's not establishing the running game that you clearly had an edge in the game. And the 49ers defense, as bad as they were tonight, clearly made some adjustments at that point. I just felt the Colts may have been a little bit too cute with Phillip Rivers and their game plan tonight. It's not about throwing him a bone. It's about winning a football game and keeping yourself in playoff contention. And they did not do that here tonight. 27 points, good enough to win a football game usually. Not when your defense can't stop anybody. And that was clearly the case here on this Monday Night Football game. Hey, if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app covering everything from bowl season and the NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you'll get our college football betting guide featuring expert playoff brackets, power ratings, college football, and bowl best bets, and access to game previews for every bowl game up on vsin.com. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. The 49ers, if they keep winning, tonight is going to be their last plane ride of the season. Ryan Reynolds from Establish the Run joins us next here on Cashin' Out here on VSiN.
back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we continue to react to the 49ers' victory on Monday Night Football over the Indianapolis Colts, and we look ahead to the Christmas Day games in the NFL and Christmas week in the NFL. It is a short week with three games on Thursday. We have games on Saturday as well here in the NFL. Now, the Indianapolis Colts not officially eliminated from postseason contention with this loss here tonight. However, if the Texans beat the Chargers on Saturday, then Indy will be eliminated before they even step onto the field on Sunday against the Jaguars, because the Texans would have that 11th victory and Indy can only get to 10 wins now. Let's react more to this game and take a look forward to this next week here in the NFL. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line is Ryan Reynolds from Establish the Run. Ryan, thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes here on Cashing Out. What was your final thoughts here on the 49ers and the Colts and the performance, whether it was by Phillip Rivers or the 49er defense? What do you make coming out of this game?
Two big takeaways for me. I actually think that's the best game I've ever seen Brock Purdy play. So that's pretty impressive. And Phillip Rivers, man, like we saw it a couple years ago with Joe Flacco. We've seen it intermittently since then. These traditional veteran pocket passers, they just, you know, if you can't get pressure on them, they know where to go with the ball. And I think we saw that a lot, especially out of Phillip Rivers in the first half. Obviously, you know, as you alluded to before, the arm strength is not exactly there for 44-year-old Phillip Rivers, but got to give the guy credit, man. As long as he's clean, he can still make NFL throws in the intermediate to short range.
I mean, my biggest takeaway from watching Phillip Rivers is that he is showing every NFL organization, and it's actually pretty ironic that he's doing it in front of Chris Ballard and the Indianapolis Colts, but he's showing every organization that you don't need the best athlete at the quarterback position. You need a smart quarterback that can read defenses, that can react to what he's seeing out there. And I say it's ironic because the Colts did draft Anthony Richardson because he was a phenomenal athlete at the combine rather than a guy who can play the quarterback position. 44-year-old Phillip Rivers showing that it takes more than just being an athlete at the quarterback position. And I think it might actually affect, believe it or not, in my opinion, I think it actually might affect the way that teams look at the draft this coming season.
Yeah, I mean, it should. It's, you know, like we just said, it worked with Flacco, it's worked with Phillip Rivers, and Anthony Richardson is literally the polar opposite of Phillip Rivers. So I think they're going to lean more away from, you know, pure athletic quarterbacks like that. And I'd like to see some more of these guys get properly developed at the college level.
Yeah, for sure, which is why a guy like Arch Manning is going back for another year, and he should be going back for another year. That's a whole other case to be talked about. I do think that Arch is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner next year and the number one overall pick in 2027, but we can get to that certainly coming up next year. Let's take an early look at the Christmas week games here in the NFL. What a disaster. Speaking of the quarterback position that we're going to see here on Christmas, and only, you know, with those games really not meaning anything for the Cowboys or the Commanders, Lions certainly on life support as well, and the Broncos coming off of that loss, looking to bounce back here against the Kansas City Chiefs. When you looked at that Broncos game against the Jaguars, anything that you could take away from that performance that you project forward into the playoffs, whether you want to trust either of those teams in the postseason?
It's a good question. With Denver, you know, I think they were on an 11-game win streak, so they've been begging to drop one for, I'd say, at least a month and a half, winning games by the skin of their teeth, so I'm not going to be too hard on them for dropping one to Jacksonville. On the Jaguar side of things, Trevor Lawrence's progression has been very interesting. The one thing I really love that he's doing with Cohen is he's finally starting to run. When he was at Clemson, it was one of my favorite aspects of his game, his running ability. And now that's one of the reasons they're ascending. So trust, no. Like, I still think Buffalo's the team to beat in the playoff race. But, you know, both impressive. I'm going to give Denver a pass, though, for last week.
Well, what has also been impressive, and I've actually been pretty slow to come around on it, is the Chicago Bears and the turnaround for Caleb Williams and what Ben Johnson has done with that offense. You know, I joked a lot of the part of the season when they had the winning record with the negative point differential, right? But there's something to be said about winning all of these close games, right? And they have what now, 5 or 6 wins this season when they're trailing in the final 2 minutes. Now they go to San Francisco or Santa Clara for Sunday night football this week against the 49er team, coming off a short week here, but a big win against the Indianapolis Colts. San Francisco in control of their own path. Literally, if they win out, they don't have to get on a plane for the rest of the season, Ryan, because they'll play the final two games at home. They'll have the home games in the playoffs. The Super Bowl is in their home stadium, so they don't have to get on a plane for the rest of the season. That being said, early line right now is the 49ers a field goal favorite over the Bears on Sunday Night Football. Where would you lean with that one?
I'm going to lean Bears just because I think this is going to be close. Even if San Francisco wins, I think it's going to be a 3-4 point game. I also think after seeing Brock Purdy absolutely shred in Indianapolis, I don't really want to bet on that happening again in that exact fashion. I really took a long look at the over. 51.5, I think, is the perfect number. I would love to go over, but I just can't get there. Ultimately, you know, like you said, the Bears, they're at their best late offensively. Both of these teams have excellent coaching staffs. And the thing that I'm kind of really interested in is neither team really has much of a pass rush. This is the rare instance where Chicago actually has a better pass rush than San Francisco. So ultimately, I think the Bears are going to win the line of scrimmage. And, you know, I think they either win or lose very narrowly. So I lean Chicago here.
I do as well. You know, I talked about this earlier, but I do a lot of evaluating of offensive and defensive line play in the NFL, and one of the more surprising aspects this year has been the Chicago Bears offensive line. And it's not just in the run blocking, in pass protection, they have been one of the top offensive lines in the entire NFL. So that is something that I don't think a lot of people expected, especially with all the turnover in the offensive line this year for Chicago. Talking to Ryan Reynolds from Establish the Run here on the Progressive Guest Line. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN. What other games did you look at here once the early lines came out for week 17 in the NFL and you fired on with the early lines, Ryan?
Going to lean right back into your line play comment. I like Houston against the Chargers getting 2.5 points.
Yep.
The Chargers have done a pretty good job managing their, you know, they've been down their two premium offensive tackles for most of the season. When this team faces a real pass rush, we saw it against Philly a couple of weeks ago in primetime. You know, Justin Herbert's in a very precarious situation. Houston's pass rush, I was very surprised. They kind of, I won't say the word struggled, but I thought they were going to derail that game against the Raiders last week. They did not. I think they bounced back strong. I think this is a nightmare opponent for a team with offensive line injuries. I like Houston getting 2.5.
I do like Houston as well. And yeah, there's a lot to like with their line play for sure on the season. Other games that I think are pretty intriguing in the schedule. I mean, we could talk about Christmas, but I don't know what we're getting out of these quarterbacks. Like literally, is it Max Brosmer at quarterback for the Vikings? If it is, I want no part of Minnesota. I certainly can't back the Chiefs with Oladukun. I mean, I might be able to maybe team total under for Kansas City. I mean, that offense looked putrid once Gardner Minshew left the game.
Yeah, I mean, this was the rare circumstance where I didn't know who the quarterback was when Gardner Minshew went out. That's very rarely happens. Denver has a premium pass rush. The Chiefs also have offensive line issues. So 12.5 on a road game on a short week is something I'd rather not do. But that one for me is Denver or pass. I do also like the idea of Chiefs under team total. I think that's sharp.
So Pittsburgh now with the loss by Baltimore and their win over the Lions, they can clinch the division by beating the Cleveland Browns here this week. And that week 18 game doesn't mean anything. They could rest everybody in that week 18 game. Does Pittsburgh get it done here on the road in Cleveland?
I think they win, but I'm going to take Cleveland at 3.5. I like the hook here because no DK Metcalf really matters yep. for this game. Cleveland has a pretty good secondary. Obviously, Myles Garrett's probably going to break the all-time sack record this week. I think that really gives Aaron Rodgers very limited avenues to make margin in the passing game. I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be low scoring. I think Cleveland loses by 3 on the dot. But like you said, I do think that regular season finale is going to be meaningless for Pittsburgh ultimately.
Boy, Aaron Rodgers has a real funny opportunity here this week. He could totally pull a Brett Favre and roll out and fall down and let Myles Garrett get the record like Favre did with Strahan. And if he wants to keep following in Favre's footsteps, it'll be the most hilarious thing that we could see happen here this weekend. Hey, Ryan, appreciate the time, man. Great conversation. Continue the great work, and we'll follow along, okay?
Pleasure as always, man. Thank you.
There he is. Have a Merry Christmas, Ryan. He's Ryan Reynolds from Establish the Run. Follow him on Twitter at Ryan Reynolds NFL. Joined us there on the Progressive Guest Line. Well, the holidays may slow everybody else down, but not VSiN. because while you're celebrating, traveling, or taking a rare day off, we're going to be live all Christmas Day with wall-to-wall betting coverage. Your morning's going to start with VSiN by the books, followed by a numbers game and a special edition of Live Bet Christmas to guide you through the early action. In the afternoon and the evening, we're going to keep all the insights coming with Follow the Money, VSiN Primetime, and yours truly on Cashing Out. So even if your routine shifts during the holidays, your betting coverage does not have to. From bowl season to NFL action, plus the NBA's holiday slate, VSiN is your home for holiday betting coverage. I'm Scott Satterberg. You can always hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us off on the network at VSiN Live. We'll take another look here at the 49er win over the Indianapolis Colts. Take a look ahead. Plus, we'll get to the NBA, NHL, and college football coming up here on Cashing Out on the Sports Betting Network.